Hello, hello, hello! It's your intrepid Mahjong reporter, Garth, and...
Jen?
Jen. How's it going?
Good.
That's kind of a rather tentative... That was a tentative good, was it not, Troy?
It did sound tentative.
Yes. But, alright, at least we got the word, if not the feeling along with it. And Troy, our producer.
Yeah.
Back to our regular staff. As we have just returned, but not just returned, we are returned from Macau,
and Troy has returned as well.
Oh, really? Where did Troy go?
San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, San Francisco. Did you say hi to my parents? very nice. Yes, so we have all been across big ponds in one direction or another. Let's see, what I think we have to observe a moment of silence, just because I was riding up Miyamasuzaka, the hill going from Shibuya up to Aoyama, or Omotesando, and you know what I saw? There is no more Las Vegas game parlor on Miyamasuzaka.
Oh, really?
Can you believe that? So we all have to shed a tear and observe a moment of silence. Silence. For Las Vegas going out of business and disappearing. The first place that I played Mahjong Fight Club, like, religiously for a while.
And the second place that we played religiously went out of business, too. Like, way before.
Which one was
that? In Shibuya, in the Chitose building.
Oh, yeah, that one.
We are not good luck.
No, we're killing.
The game centers.
Yes. Let's see. I can't think. Did anything else happen? What else happened to talk about Mahjong? Oh, yes, the World Series of Mahjong.
Oh, that.
Yes, little event happened in Macau while we were there. We played...
Wasn't that a coincidence?
Yeah. What luck. We just happened to be there at the same time as the World Series of Mahjong. Some results, yes. First, lame, totally lame, 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 pathetic result. Garth... They paid down to 32 players, and Garth took 33rd in the World Series of Mahjong main event. What a pile of crap. Ola, God, that was so annoying. On top of that, the fact that in the last round, I misscored a hand. I forgot that I had all simples in a hand that was a full flush, so I kind of forgot about the fact that I had the simples there, too.
Wow.
Yeah,
you
so
just
the full
got
flush.
All of the what suit was it?
Yeah, pretty much all of the cracks between 2 and 8. Yes, and I'm not sure. Given the fact that they do that square root thing with the points, and that round I had a huge amount of points because I also got another gigantic hand that round. Three cons.
Wait, but with that you didn't get like also a double run or anything? You had all of those cracks, and you didn't have any double runs or triple runs or anything?
No, because...
Wow.
Yes, I can't...
That is special.
Yes, who would have thunk that would happen? Yeah, no double runs, triple runs, or extra special cons, no toy-toy, all triples. Yeah, it was just a full flush, plus actually it happened to be it's all simples too, which I forgot to score, which was really annoying. That 15 points really might have pushed me into the top 32, which would have made half of Team World Gaming Magazine in the money.
World Gaming Magazine and ReachMahjong.com.
And ReachMahjong.com. Oh, yes, with ReachMahjong.com... Oh, yes. Oh, it's yes. That was all part of the team. Yes.
Yeah.
Team effort on all parts of the team. As it happens, the team Mahjong.com and World Series World Gaming Magazine peoples that did make it in, Kondo took 20th. He had big three dragons. And he happened to be at the same table with Gigi that time, who made it to 19th place, and who basically facilitated his getting that big three dragons by... she did throw the red dragon after he had already pwned the white and green dragons. But as it happened, he didn't actually have two red dragons in his hand yet. The very next draw, he drew a second red dragon. And unfortunately for the guy to his right, who was throwing next after Gigi, he threw that red dragon, and it was Konno's winner.
Wow.
Holy bagoli. You've got to be bummed to be that guy. Like, you're looking across the table at the donkey that just threw the red dragon to those two pawns, and you're saying, God, what a donkey. I'm glad I don't play like that. And then...
And then you just go ahead and play exactly like that.
And you throw the actual winner. Ouch, that's gotta hurt. So yes, Konno, on the strength of that hand, made it into the money in 20th place, and Gigi just slipped into 19th place, having not thrown the winner. Not quite on team, on our team, but still part of the Japanese team, Ogura Takashi made it to 17th place.
He put on a sticker for us.
He did?
Oh, very mahjong.com nice. One.
So he was halfway on the team.
He's a supporter.
He's on our side. And he's
but
a good...
Actually, he won our qualifier. Otherwise, he probably would have been on our team.
Oh, yeah,
he won
true,
the
huh?
Tokyo qualifier.
Yeah, guy knows a little bit about mahjong. He does
yeah,
seem
I mean,
to
he's,
do...
He's just won, like, the A1 league in the...
He wins here and there.
Yeah.
So he's the kind of person we like to have on our team.
He has, like, a book out and stuff. Like, no big deal.
Team player, that guy. Way to go, 17th place. That was actually the bubble for making it into the final round.
Right.
He did at least make money, but he did not actually make it into the final round of play on the third day. Also on the Japanese team, Makoto Sawazaki took 6th place. I did get to watch some of his games. He was in pretty strong form, and he just got a little bit unlucky on the final in his final round anyway. He just could not get any big hands, and some other players who made some really really big mistakes somehow managed to get big hands, and actually win their hands despite the fact that they made mistakes.
Did you skip somebody?
I don't know. Was there anybody else in the top 10?
You're such a jerk. I hate you.
Here's that name. Here's that name. The Jen Barr? Who's Jen Barr? All right, yes.
Your chair is loud.
I know. I'm such a jerk. Just because I don't make it into the money, then I have to slight my friends who do. Jen Barr made it into the top 16 players. Made it into the final day. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'm really jealous.
You still did better than me, though, and you got more prize money than me. So.
Well, yes, we'll get to that result in a second. But the thing is, I don't know, I feel like there's more prestige attached to your result than there is mine. Made it to the final round. Due to the strangeness of the, well, at least, I don't know, strangeness, or at least differentness of the scoring and prize structure format this year, you didn't actually make any extra money above the money that you made, that all the other players made, for making it into the top 32.
Right.
Kind of a strange format, the way they did that this year. It's interesting on the one hand, and then, I don't know, I guess if what happens to you happens, then I guess it's a little frustrating.
I don't know, I'm glad that we got to, like, try out the system, but I'm not a fan of it. I would rather play more tournament and less cash gamey.
Yeah.
If it's a tournament. If we're going to play cash games, all right, I want to
Play cash games. Yeah, it is strange to have a tournament until that round, and then suddenly say, okay, now we're going to change everything, and we're going to play a cash game.
Yeah, like it's like a free-roll cash game, but it's kind of weird still.
Yeah. All right, we're going to talk about our feelings, our thoughts on that in a second. Let me finish out the results here. All the names, except for one, because he was from Hong Kong, were in Chinese, so they're hard to read. Except for on one person's website, so we'll just have last names. Chan. Chan won the whole thing. Do you know what Chan's first name is?
I don't know, but he's from Hong Kong as well.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's right. They say he's from Hong Kong, and yet, well, on the website, it said it looked like he was from elsewhere. Strange. Yes.
I don't know. We wrote it somewhere. Oh, we didn't write it in a final report because you were supposed to do the final report.
Oh, yes.
On the reachmahjong.com. That hasn't happened yet.
Yes, things will happen. at some point. This guy, he's the only person in the top 32 who's from Hong Kong and yet still has his name written in the Chinese characters. How very strange. Most of the players from Hong Kong, for some reason, their names get written in English characters, which is why I can read Jin Long Pao's name, who might also be read Pao Jin Long. I'm not sure. He took second place, money-wise, although in the final round he actually took third place. But because of the fact that he did so well in the second-to-last round, he actually made more money than the second-place winner in the final, the second-place player in the final round.
Wow, that's so weird.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. And I have to say, I mean, congratulations to him for making it to second place. But wow, some huge mistakes when he was at the same table with Sawazaki.
Oh, really?
And it's kind of thing. You watch and then you think, huh, boy, Mahjong is just all luck. Because he had a hand where he was going for... He was at a point where he could choose between going for a mixed outside hand or sort of a mixed outside hand and half flush. And he had already thrown the one of dots, and he had the two of dots still in his hand. So I think when he drew the eight of cracks, he looked at the group that he already had in his hand. He already had a 7, 8, 9 of cracks in his hand.
Right.
So he threw the eight away right away. His next draw was the 7 of cracks. And right when he threw it to, I was like, wow, that's I would keep the cracks. Because he had a bunch of other cracks, too. And it looked like, you know, he could go for the half flush if he wanted to. And also, he had already thrown away the one of dots. So it was like, why are you saving the two of dots there when you've already thrown away the one? So he draws the 7, and then he throws away the 2. Later, somebody throws away the 9 of cracks, which he cheese, and now he's free 10 for the 8 of cracks.
Except for that there is no free 10 or missed when
exactly.
rule on this rule.
So. Exactly. And at this point, Sawazaki actually had a hand that he was going for, but he obviously noticed that cracks were becoming very dangerous, so he stopped throwing away cracks. I'm not sure. He never had the 8 of cracks, so I'm not sure if he would have figured that was safe. But, of course, one of the other players was throwing out cracks willy-nilly, not paying attention to Jin Long's hand at all. And sure enough, out came the 8 of cracks for a gigantic, I think it was over 100-point hand. Because he had, that was the mixed outside and half flush, plus I think he had at least one or two value tiles in there too.
Right.
So over 100 points. In the end, Sawazaki only has to pay 30 points of that, but still, it's a little frustrating that, you know, he's playing defense, he's not going to throw the winner, he's not even throwing anything to help the guy out at all. The guy is missed win, and then Sawazaki still ends up having to pay points to that winning hand, even though he's done really essentially nothing wrong.
Right.
And he didn't, you know, nobody threw the winner. So, it's the format of the tournament. It's the way these rules are put together. Free 10 is not part of them, and so you know it's going to come up as an issue sometimes.
Right.
But it's got to be frustrating. Sawazaki played a great tournament. You played a great tournament. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you. I feel like I played really well most of the time. You said when you were watching me that you thought I was doing well.
Yeah. So in the hand that I watched, I watched a couple of your hands in that in your final round.
Yeah, the semifinals, quarterfinals.
Right. Quarterfinals, I guess you'd call it. Yeah. You had a hand where you could have gone for it. Somebody had pawned the white and red dragons. So of course, you know, the green dragon looks dangerous.
Well, he only had like 4 tiles left in his hand.
Right. He only has 4 tiles sitting there. What can you think? Can you throw away that green dragon? No, you really can't.
There was one out on the board already, I think. Or were there two? There were two out on the board. But this was actually the winner.
Yeah.
He ended up being the winner.
He ended up being the winner. I don't think there were any out on the board yet.
Yeah, there were.
I'm pretty sure there were not. I have it written down in Yasumi's little booklet when I was taking notes.
I'm pretty sure there was.
I'm pretty sure that there is no way that you could have thought it was safe, except for the fact that the one thing that might have made you want to think it was safe if you really wanted to decide was the way he was throwing tiles away. He did exchange a couple tiles that, you know, it's like, oh, maybe his hand is not actually ready yet.
Mm.
But you know, it's easy for me to see sitting behind him. Right. I don't know if you could really see that, you know, from where you're sitting or from where any of the other players are sitting. In the end, had you gone for it, you would have won on the next draw.
Right. No, on somebody's next discard.
Discard. That's right. Sorry, on somebody's next discard. As it happens, since you didn't go for it, he got a couple extra draws to put his hand together, and then he won. I think it was a. Was it about a 100-point hand?
Yeah, it was something like a half flush or something.
Yeah, it was a half flush. It was a pretty big hand.
He won two big hands that round.
Yeah,
at my table.
But you know, I mean, you played solid mahjong. You played the way you should play there. I was describing the hand later to Konno, and his words about your play was erai. he said that you played right there. Yes, he was happy that you played that way instead of how you could have played to win. So you know, I mean, solid play in the end doesn't always win. But you played a great game. You played a great tournament. Way to go.
Thank you.
Other random results. I played sort of an okay tournament in our other event.
We had a World Series event. Didn't we talk about the Reach event already?
Well, we talked about it on the other podcast. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, it's all going the same place.
Oh, okay, so. That's right. So, yes, I did take second in that event, just to recap, just because I wanted to get some sort of glory.
I just thought it was interesting that our first place prize for the Reach event was the same as sixth place for the main event that had 200 people in it.
Right.
That is weird.
It's a little strange, yes. I'm not sure if that's entirely just because of the way they broke down the prize structure, or if that's also a factor of they're not, you know, the entry for this tournament was smaller, plus there were not as many people as were planned.
Right.
So, I don't know, I think this year, it's because they didn't have the tournament last year, this was a growing year again for both our event and the main event.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm definitely looking forward to building on the successes we had this year.
Wow, are you going to start doing work?
I don't know. If it looks fun.
Work usually looks fun.
Yes. I'm always
That's how it gets its name.
Yes.
Work.
Fun work.
Because of its funness.
I'm always on with the fun work. I can do that stuff. I'm hoping, I don't know, maybe I will find the desire to work and help make the World Series of Mahjong bigger and bigger and bigger in the coming years. Since I just wanted to cover some results, Champions League also happened last weekend. And
all right, that was the best 32.
Best 32, yes. And one of our players from the Reach event, actually not just one of our players, the winner of our Reach event, Tanaka. Tanaka, do you know his first name?
Fumitaka
Tanaka.
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot of A's.
Yes.
Except he doesn't have to write it like that usually, probably, I guess.
Taka
but,
Fumi.
Yes. Tanaka, Mr. Tanaka, took first place in our Reach event and then rushed back to Japan to participate in the best 32 players of the Champions League in our Japan Pro Mahjong League. He made it to the best. He made it to the best eight.
Wow.
So yeah, way to go, him.
Good week for mahjong.
Yeah, he did not do badly.
Except I've never really seen him lose at all.
He always impresses me as a fairly strong player. He made it to the final table at just about every single ReachMahjong.cup, right?
Yeah. So that's what we're officially changing it to, by the way.
ReachMahjong.cup.
No, I like it. We're going to officially change that. But, yeah, I've seen him not win before, but I've never seen him actually lose.
to go down in flames. Yeah, it just doesn't seem to happen. So congratulations to him on winning the Reach event and also at least making it pretty far in Champions League. Champions League was won by a guy named Shimamura something A. I'm not sure what the kanji in his name is, but Shimamura.
Did you write it down on that paper right there?
I didn't write it down because it was hard to read.
No,
it was
I don't want to wait for write. You to look for it. Yeah. So freaking out.
And
it's
also
probably like West Egg.
Oh yes, it might have been West. No, actually, that was the second place player, West something.
Yeah.
But also of note, In fourth place was Horiuchi, who did, obviously, he starts in the best 32 this time around because he won the tournament last year. But kudos to that guy for playing what I do not think of as really solid Mahjong, and yet he does very well. He made it to the final table. He took fourth at the final table, and I don't know how he does it, because to me that Mahjong looks more random than anything I've ever seen in my life. But he seems to know something about Mahjong too, so congratulations to him for making it to fourth place in Champions League this last weekend. Okay, getting back to the World Series of Mahjong. Oh, did you
want to talk about like the Women's League today or anything?
Oh, yes. We can talk about that. Yes.
I'll talk about it real quick. Women's League today.
Today.
It's Saturday.
Right.
Which is a strange day for us to be doing the podcast.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I got plus 10.
Very nice, very nice. Which
that's pretty much the only important thing worth saying.
Well, how many days into Women's League are we right now?
It's the third one.
This is the third one.
Just about halfway through. We have two more sessions.
All right. How are you doing overall then?
I think that puts me at plus 15 total.
Plus 15. All right. That's not bad.
Now you have to be in the top 5 out of 36 to move up to A League.
Uh huh.
It was really funny because I finished and I came out and Mommy Olsen and I was outside.
Uh huh.
And she's like, "Jen, did you lose?" And I was like, "No."
That's a funny way to start a conversation.
I got plus 10. Yeah, and then I got to we went to meet at Kaori Shimizu.
Uh huh.
And she said, "Oh, Jen, were you negative today?" Huh?
You just had that look on your face.
I guess so. I guess I just don't look happy when I win.
Huh.
But it was funny because I got second place, and then I got first place, and then I took a huge last place.
Because
I was plus like 40-something, and then I ended up with plus 10. So maybe I did lose. I don't know. I was not too worried about it.
It's funny, though. Like I was just thinking about this. I've been thinking about this a lot the last couple of days because my... my performance at work has been actually, when I look at the overall results, it's been pretty darn good. I think I wrote about it a little bit too earlier,
right.
But and people keep saying sometimes they're like, "Oh, Garth, you're doing pretty well," and my immediate reaction is like, "Oh, it doesn't feel like I'm doing very well," and it's really all about just that last game, whatever happened in the last game, like especially me, and I think you a little bit too, our whole sense of well-being at the moment is all tied to what happened in the very last game. And people always say that about me too. They're always like, "Oh, I know exactly how your Mahjong is lately by the expression on your face." Like when you walk in, it's like, "Oh, I guess you won today." Or when I walk in, "Oh, crappy day of Mahjong."
I already forgot about the first three games that I won.
Yeah.
Just the last game.
And yesterday, like... the guy at Sentenbo in Ochanomizu, he says, "Oh, you're having you're really strong today." And I was like, "What? I feel terrible today." And he's like, "What do you mean? What are you talking about?" And he brings up my scores, and he's like, "You've won 4 of 8 games today."
But you had just lost the last
game. Yeah, I just lost the last game. And the thing is, also, so I had lost that last one. I had won the two before that. And then I won two earlier. And in between that, I had a streak of three where I didn't actually lose. I just I took third, and fourth. So not a very good streak there. Mm-hmm. But I had that really gnarly streak that was just like, God, it was so awful. I couldn't recover at all from that. And then I won two games in a row. And then I lost again. I was like, "Oh, my God, I lost again." And then he says, "Oh, you're doing really strong today." And I was like, "I'm losing." But he said, "No. You've won half your games."
He's like, "You don't know what losing is, Garth." Something that I often tell you.
And yeah, I've like, until I went over my overall results for last month at Sendombo in Kinshicho too, like I was thinking, "Man, I'm sucking lately." And then I looked at my results. I'm at 40%, winning 40% at Kinshicho for the last 2 months. So yeah, it's all about, and I wonder if other players, like much stronger players than we, I wonder if they're a lot less worried each time they lose. Like when they lose, does it just slide right off their back and like,
well,
you know?
Like for me today with the wins and the loss, like I actually didn't care at all. I think I was a little bit tired, and they took it as me being upset about losing, but I didn't have any, I didn't feel anything about the game, the results of the games. I felt pretty good about how I played for most of the day, so.
That's good. And that's the way it's got to be. You know, you've got to be okay with the way you're playing. You've got to be able to reevaluate your play if you're losing a lot and say, am I losing a lot because I'm playing badly, or am I losing a lot because I'm just getting unlucky despite my playing correctly? Which, I don't know, that's something I still have not quite gotten. I still always just think, you know what? If that guy is going to win playing that stupidly, I can play that stupid too. All right, let's get back to the World Series. There are some issues at the World Series. Well, I don't know if they're issues, but just things to talk about, reviewing the way the World Series went. First of all, there was this new thing in the earlier rounds. They took, instead of taking a cumulative score of your entire score from each round, each round we played two games, and the cumulative score from those two games was square-rooted, which had the effect of muting the effect of any one single round. It meant that positive scores, like really, really big positive scores, would not actually make your score so much bigger, as would really big negative scores not really take you so far down.
Right.
So it really emphasized the fact that it made it a much stronger game if you could just get positive scores each time.
Right, and you had two games to do that. Basically.
Right, in 16 each round.
Hands, yeah.
16 hands to put together a positive score for each round. That really hurt me because I did actually manage to have one gigantic round, but because right before that I had a round where I had lost a bunch of points, I just could not recover, and that was just barely enough to get me into 33rd place. Like about point, I think I was about 0.4, 0.5 points out. The border was 36.7 or something, and I had 36.5, or 36.2 or 3, somewhere around there. And if I had had those extra 15 points, it was pretty close. It might not have given it to me. It might have given it to me. I'm not sure. But, you know, there were other mistakes, too. The fact that in the second-to-last round I threw a half flush where I was totally not paying attention at all. I couldn't even say I was going for a big hand there because I was still two away from ready on my full straight.
Chicken hand? Oh.
I was going for a full straight, so I was at least going for a big hand, but I was totally not paying attention to the woman on my left who, when she said, whew, I was like, oh god, she probably just has like a piece hand or something, and then she opens it up and it's a half flush. Like, oh my god, 75 points minus for me. Ouch.
Well, there were mistakes on the officiating side as well.
For example,
one of the Mahjong Club qualifier.
Uh-huh.
He was playing and somebody discarded the green dragon, and Kono was at the table too.
Oh really?
And actually, Kono's comments kind of surprised me. But somebody discarded the green dragon, and he had two in his hand, but he didn't pawn.
Uh-huh.
And then someone else discarded, and then another person discarded a green dragon, and he tried to pawn.
Uh-huh.
And they told him that he couldn't, which is a Taiwanese rule.
Right. So that player was probably from Taiwan.
Right. And I guess both of the Chinese players at the table said he couldn't, and Kono just stayed out of it. And then they called the judge over, and the judge also said that he couldn't pawn the green dragon. Which was completely incorrect. He is allowed to pull that green dragon there.
In the World Series of Mahjong rules,
right.
It is allowed.
It is allowed.
Huh.
He could discard it himself and then pull it,
yeah.
Or win on it.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, there's no like missed win or rule like that at all.
Uh-huh.
And the judge gave the wrong ruling for that. And I confirmed with Alan later. And when I mentioned it to Kono before, he was like, "Ah, it doesn't matter." He just didn't care at all. Which kind of surprised me, because I know when we're at the Super Cup, there was a rule issue, and he was very adamant about getting the correct ruling on it.
That is interesting. I would have thought of him as being more of a, you know, let's play by the rules sort of.
Right, or let's at least make sure the judges know the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. And then there was another issue, actually, when you were at the table with Gemma, and she said that you didn't even care at all as well. But
what happened?
Somebody discarded a tile, and she said chi, And then she discarded her tile.
Uh-huh.
And put the she was putting the chi together, I think it was what she said. And somebody said, wait, did he just throw that you cheat on? I'm going to win on that. And then they won on it. And they got the judge's ruling and they let it stand.
Wow, I don't remember that happening at all.
She said you were grumpy. So maybe you weren't paying attention.
Wow, that is really crazy.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, once the person that cheated has discarded the tile, you can no longer take it. You can no longer win on the one that they cheated. So that was definitely an incorrect ruling as well.
Yeah, that does seem like a very strange ruling. And I can't believe that I don't... Are you sure I'm... Was she sure I was at the
tile?
Wow.
It was, like, right after it happened that she told me. And then...
I must have been really, really grumpy.
And then one of the people... There's a big group from Australia, like 25 players from Australia. And one lady, I played with her in the first game, and we took the tiles, and I was like, oh, we're not supposed to look until we take all of our tiles. And she said... It was the second game, I guess. She said, nobody here plays by the rules, so I'm not going to either. I thought that was funny.
Yes. It was funny how what is the word I'm looking for in English that is tiki-to?
Yeah, they're just really loose with the rules this year.
Yeah, everybody was just like, I'm going to play my way, and you guys can come along or not.
Oh, and then one guy, he was really adamant about the not looking at your hand.
Uh-huh.
Which was fine, because I didn't really care either way. It wasn't a big deal to me, the looking at your hand or not. So I didn't like to say it to anybody else, but most of the time, if everyone else was doing it, I wouldn't look at my hand as well. You know, it's something easy to do, so... But this guy, he went into this long explanation to the guy across from him about why he couldn't look at his hand. And then that guy pretty much ignored him and kept looking at his hand on the rest of the draws. And then that guy who went on the rant about how you could not look at your hand, that was the rule, then he actually showed one of his tiles on accident.
Uh-huh.
And he kind of pressed, like, put it on the table like he was going to show it, like the rules officially say you should. And then he kind of looked around at the table and he put it back in his hand. I thought that was funny as well.
That is funny. Oh, speaking of that, another funny story you were talking about. One of the players had too many tiles in his hand.
And it took him two calls. He called two tiles.
Oh, so he not only had he had too many tiles in his hand, but at this point, after making two tiles, making two calls, he should have seven tiles, but he actually has
eight
in his hand. and then you said he managed
He had three. Maybe he was supposed to have four, and he had five or something. It was something ridiculous like that.
Wow. And then he managed to sort of fix it by not drawing once and throwing away.
Discarded.
That is awesome.
Because nobody noticed that he had too many tiles. And
wow. I almost want to see if I can pull that off once in in Japan once, just to see if it can happen. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's once again, this is the first year they've had it after one-year break.
Hiatus.
Yes, a one-year hiatus. So I think it's a bit of a growing year. I think, you know, they'll come back next year with improvements on the prize structure, on the maybe on this square rooting thing. I'm not sure how I like that. Well, mostly because it kept me out of the final round. What do you think about the venue, the Wynn versus the Venetian?
Actually, I like the Venetian better because they're a lot more supportive. And although the signs didn't come out until the day of our event, there were a lot more signs because we didn't have any signs at the Wynn at all. It's just the convention center at the Venetian is pretty far out of the way.
It was really far out of the way, especially our room was like at the very, very, very end of that hall.
Yeah, if they had a room a little bit closer, I think it would be better. Mm. But, you know, there's not a lot you can do. Even the World Series of Poker, the convention center that it's in at the Rio, is quite far away from the hotel and the casino. So I don't think there's a lot you can do about that.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, the Wynn location was really close to the entrance and it was good, but, I mean... It was just that it was a bit hard to find, so if there was a little bit of better signage. Because even when they had the signs out, they didn't really direct you towards the correct room. They just mentioned that it was happening at the hotel. And the staff didn't really know that
they
it was happening.
Didn't, yeah. And they didn't... A lot of the staff, were surprisingly, they didn't even know the name of that room.
Right. Yeah, So, I don't know. I actually liked it a lot better. I liked the people at the Venetian a lot better.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I guess I didn't meet the people at the Wynn, really, but I met a lot of the people working at the Venetian this time with the press conference and everything.
Oh,
and
I see.
Yeah, it was. I think it was a lot better, actually.
What about you? From a classiness sort of perspective, I did like the Wynn.
Mm.
It's not to say that there are a lot of things I liked about the Venetian too.
Venetian definitely has a better food selection.
That is definitely true. It's got that entire food court. There's a lot to choose from there, and Fatburger with some fantastic milkshakes.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Except for the room was so cold. The World Series room.
Oh God. Well, during the Reach event, especially, I think they had the air conditioner on as if there were say 500 people in there.
Yeah, but on the last day as well.
It was even. Oh yeah, and again, like when there's still only again when there are like only 16 people in there, they've still got it on like there are 500 people in there.
Right.
So yeah, they do need to work on their air conditioning calibration. How about the entry fee? What do you think? Is the entry fee appropriate for an event of this size? Do you think it should be more? Do you think it should be less?
I don't know. One of the issues at the tournament was that a lot of people just up and left after the first day.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was something. I totally forgot to talk about that.
Yeah, well, this year, like, everybody played the first 2 days.
Right.
Which was, actually, I really liked that a lot. In the end.
Me too, yes.
I wasn't sure if I was going to like it. I really did like it. The one problem with that is that when people, after the first day, if they thought they didn't have any chance to come back on the second day, they just didn't come back the second day.
Right.
And that also has to do with the square rooting, because if they were taking just raw scores, you could get really lucky and get a lot more hands, but if they're square rooting, then it's going to be a lot harder to come back. And yes, I'm emphasizing that rooting T on purpose.
Yeah. yes, that was a huge factor, or I don't know, a huge point that I was a little disappointed in. And I don't think there's anything that the tournament organizers could have done having anticipated. The idea, you think people are coming to play a Mahjong tournament. They're going to be happy to get to play two full days of Mahjong.
No, in the end they were gamblers, and when they couldn't win the Mahjong tournament, they went to the baccarat tables.
To gamble, yes. I don't know. Do you have any ideas about how you could change the structure? Like, I was thinking, you know, so make the prize, either make the entry bigger, and then say, or you could think of it as a deposit. So the entry is actually, say, 10,000 Hong Kong dollars, but you're going to get 5,000 back. If you play all of your rounds, if you finish all your rounds.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard about that in any tournament, but...
Well, some of the online tournaments actually have some sort of deposit system like that, because
the Mahjong ones.
Right. A lot of the players do, in the very same situation, a lot of the players do decide to take off after they can't, they actually don't have any more chance to win for the rest of the tournament. So there's a sort of deposit. You know, the entry is actually only, say, $3, but you have to pay $6, and if you don't finish all of your games, then you end up losing the other $3.
Wow, that's really cool.
So that would be one idea, is to have people have to pay sort of a deposit. But the idea of having a deposit in the tournament seems a little bit strange to me. Another idea I was thinking of is to basically have a prize structure that extends all the way down to last place. And you know, you make the entry bigger, and so there's always something that you can win if you do play to the very end. And then, you know, if you don't play to the end, well, then you're giving up that prize money. That prize money goes back into the pool. It's sort of the same thing, actually, I guess, as the deposit system, except that the deposit system, you're guaranteed to get quite a bit more back.
Right.
And in the end, you're also paying a pretty large penalty for not finishing your games. And if it means that much to you to go have that free time in the in the casino, all right, I guess, you know, it's nice to have that extra $500 or $5,000 in the prize pool.
They could also, I guess they could do another elimination round, so after 3 games or 4 games instead of after 6 games. I mean, 6 games is good for us, because the more you play, like, the more skill is involved. So.
Right.
I really liked that, but if it's going to make, like, a whole bunch of people drop out, then it might be better to start eliminating a little bit earlier. Or doing, like, in Champions League, where you're eliminated if you go under a certain amount of points.
Oh, that's another idea,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so you wouldn't... I mean, they wouldn't eliminate half the field, but they would eliminate people that are past a certain point of no return.
That's a very good idea. Actually, I really like that idea. Because it's an interesting way they've started to run Champions League this year. I guess you kind of explained that well enough. Don't need to rehash that, do I? All right, very good idea. Very good idea.
I'm sure that Alan would be able to calculate all of that really quick, like what would make you at the point of no return.
Right.
So then they could just cut off those people.
Or it could be decided from the beginning. If you end up with minus, say, after the square rooting, if you end up with minus 100 at any point, or even with the square rooting, minus 60 or 70 is probably enough to actually eliminate you from any possible continuing.
Right. So once you go under that limit, then you're out. And then they'll have the border, so if there's...
Oh, yeah, you could also do it as a distance from the border. Once you're more than, say, 50 or 60 from the border... you're probably not going to be able to recover at that point.
Yeah, that wasn't what I was trying to say, but that's a good idea, too. Oh. I was trying to say, like, they'll have the border, so they'll have, like, if you're under negative 50, then you're out. But then if there's only three people out, then they'll take whoever's minus 49 as well or something like that.
The one problem with that, of course, would be this time they decided at the beginning of the first day what all of our tables would be through the end of the second day, right?
Right. Well, I mean, they wouldn't be able to do that.
Right.
But
so they'd have to be reassigning everybody to tables every at the beginning of every single round.
Yeah, but our table assignments were handwritten.
Right.
I think they would be able to figure it out.
Right.
And they could have the breakdown also, like, according to... I mean, they could have the breakdowns already ready.
Uh-huh.
And then they wouldn't do it according to your player number, they'd have it according to your ranking, so it would be easy to figure out anyway. So,
at the beginning of each round, yes.
Yeah.
Redo it that way.
And they'd only have to do it after. I mean, they could do it where everybody played three rounds as well. So.
And then start eliminating people from the very bottom.
It's an idea.
Yes, some interesting ideas. I do like that Champions League-ish idea. Interesting. All right. Well, that, I think, wraps up the things I wanted to talk about at the World Series. Did you have any more issues from the World Series?
Nope.
One other thing, we did play a poker tournament on Sunday after we got eliminated. Well, after one of us got eliminated from more play on Sunday. And at that tournament, guess who ended up as heads up? But Garth and Kono. That was sort of
fun. Really funny.
I liked that.
And Kono is the one who busted me as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, yes, Kono and I ended up heads up. I did actually manage to win that tournament. And on the strength of that win, suddenly I feel inspired to go back to Macau this weekend and try to win more poker. And, I don't know, maybe campaign for some more Mahjong, too.
They do have a Mahjong room there. We could check it out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, at the Holiday Inn.
The Holiday Inn. Wow, that would be kind of interesting.
I think it's one-hand Mahjong, though.
Oh, like in Osaka?
Yeah, not like the Mahjong we played in Osaka, but...
Right, right. But I think they call it Dobon or something like that.
Oh, yeah, it's different.
Okay.
I think they allow the chicken hand and everything.
That kind of Mahjong.
It would be interesting.
Yeah, it's just to see some other Mahjong. It's always interesting to see how other people play. All right. If you would like to get in touch with us, I am Garth E, GARTHE, at ReachMahjong.com, and your address is?
Jen, JENN, at ReachMahjong.com.
Thanks for listening to us talk a lot about the World Series of Mahjong, and hopefully we'll have a lot more to talk about it in the future.
Yep. See ya.
ポンチリチに一発ロー上がれば気分は抑え込む場所はかなり錆びれたジャンスマージャンワイドクラブポンチロッああお兄さんまたそれロンやわごめんやで